Good morning, everyone. I'm Sue, and I'm bringing the Bible readings to us today. As we start, we might just open in prayer. Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from repentance and persevering in your way. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first Bible reading comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Micah. So it's Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, and it's found on page 825 of the Church Bibles. Micah chapter 4. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills. Peoples will stream to it, and many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways, so we may walk in his paths." For the instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among many peoples, and provide arbitration for strong nations that are far away. They will beat their swords into ploughs and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. But each person will sit under his grapevine and under his fig tree, with no one to frighten him. For the mouth of the Lord of armies has spoken. Though all the peoples each walk in the name of their gods, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God for ever and ever. On that day, this is the Lord's declaration. I will assemble the lame and gather the scattered, those I have injured. I will make the lame into a remnant, those far removed into a strong nation. Then the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion, from this time on and forever. And you, watchtower for the flock, fortified hill of daughter Zion, the former rule will come to you. Sovereignty will come to the daughter of Israel. The New Testament Bible reading is from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. This passage follows when Jesus has been doing an extended period of teaching to his disciples and crowds who have followed him. When he had concluded all of this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. A centurion's servant, who was highly valued by him, was sick and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and save the life of his servant. When they reached Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this, because he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue." Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Jesus heard this and was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found so great a faith even in Israel." When those who had had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Sue. Friends, keep your Bibles, that cat passage open for you. As we spend time reflecting on that, it's good you can be casting your eyes over that passage for yourself. I'm going to pray for us. Loving Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together, to hear your word. And we pray, Father, now you give us your spirit to understand your word and to see how what your word is saying applies to us. We ask for your grace in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's a question we commonly ask ourselves. Is it worth it? We ask it in all sorts of situations, don't we? We ask it, after dinner when the chocolate comes out, and we say to ourselves, I've had one more. Is it worth it? Or when you heading out to the exercise and you ask yourself, is it worth it? Maybe you get up on Monday morning and you're sort of facing down the barrel of a week of work and you ask yourself, is it worth it? We ask ourselves that question in all sorts of situations at all times. Perhaps we may even be here now asking that about following Jesus. Is it worth it? I think part of how we perhaps wrestle with that question in particular situations in part is tied up with how we answer the flip side of that question, which is how do you answer the question about how much are you worth? I don't know if you've ever thought about that question. It's a question that gets asked in America quite a bit, I take it, when parties. But we don't like to ask that because we always hear that question, and because of the way we think about value and worth in our culture, we think we're only talking about money. What's your worth? You're asking how much money I get in my bank account or something. But we actually value our worth in all sorts of ways, don't we? Certainly some people, money plays a part and think how valuable they think they are. But for others, it might be how many friends they have or the quality of their family life.